Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Right, so if you've been building anything with AI agents recently, there's a good chance you've hit the same problem. Your token budget just evaporates. Like, you wake up one morning and the thing's burned through your entire monthly allowance in about 6 hours. And here's what's wild about it. It's often not the model. It's not even the number of requests. It's how verbose your outputs are. There's a piece this week that breaks this down properly. It's called Why Your Claude Agents Burn Through API Limits in Hour 1. And the core insight is brilliant. Agent output verbosity is a line item, not a style choice. If your agent is writing full prose explanations when structured, JSON would do the job. You're basically paying for a Ferrari and then driving it at walking pace. The piece walks through three fixes. First, switch from prose to structured JSON wherever possible. Second, implement explicit context budgets per agent. Each agent gets a token allowance and has to work within it. And third, remove all the preambles. You know the ones, all those lovely polite introductions that agents love to write before they get to the point. Those three changes alone cut token burn by 60 to 75%, without sacrificing quality. Think about that for a second. The difference between a system that runs for a week and one that exhausts itself in an afternoon is often just how chatty you let it be. Worth auditing your own setup if you're running agents in production. Because this isn't about being stingy. It's about making systems that can actually run continuously without bankrupting you. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. There's a developer who built a fully autonomous multi-agent system, and I mean properly autonomous. It runs 24/7, it generates its own tasks, it executes them, it learns from the results, and then it starts again. The piece is called I Built an AI System That Runs Itself 24/7. Here's what actually happened, and here's the bit that really matters. The system only achieves a 6 to 15% success rate, which sounds terrible until you realize it's running continuously, generating new tasks, trying things, failing, adjusting, trying again. That 6 to 15% success rate is happening autonomously, around the clock, with no human in the loop. The architecture lessons are fascinating. Model routing is critical. Not every task needs your biggest, most expensive model. Shared memory between agents turned out to be essential. If one agent learns something, the others need access to it. And strict cost controls weren't optional. Without hard limits, the system would bankrupt itself in a weekend. But what I keep coming back to is this. The builder didn't set out to achieve perfection. They set out to build something that could run unsupervised and improve over time. And that's a completely different design goal. It's the difference between an assistant you supervise and a system that operates independently. The second one is harder, way harder. But if you can get it stable, it changes what's possible. Something to think about if you're building agents. Are you optimizing for accuracy on single tasks or resilience across thousands of tasks? Right, let me lighten things up a bit. Boston Dynamics Spot just completed household tasks, not with scripts, not with pre-programmed routines, with visual reasoning. The piece is, Spot uses visual reasoning to complete real-world tasks. Spot analyzed a living room, identified what needed tidying, and then decided what to do. All powered by Google's Gemini robotics model. This is embodied reasoning. The model doesn't just see objects, it understands context. A cup on a table in a kitchen might be fine. The same cup on a sofa in a living room probably needs moving. Spot figured that out. What stood out to me is how this changes the development process. You're not writing scripts anymore. You're teaching the robot to understand scenes the way a human would. That's a completely different game. And it's not just Spot. There's another piece this week about a wrist-mounted stereo camera designed specifically for robotic manipulation. It's called the ZX Nano. Mounts directly to a robot arm, captures RGB and depth at 120 frames per second with sub-millimeter accuracy. Why does that matter? Because robots learning through imitation need high-quality perception at close range. If you're teaching a robot to pick up objects or assemble components, the difference between millimeter and sub-millimeter accuracy is the difference between success and repeated failure. So we've got visual reasoning models that understand context, and we've got perception hardware that can feed them the data they need. The pieces are starting to come together. Now, this one made me stop and think. There's an interview with Ross King. He built the first robot scientist 25 years ago, and he's working on something called the Nobel Turing Challenge. The goal? Build an AI system capable of Nobel Prize-level research by 2050. The piece is 25 years of automated science, an interview with Ross King. And the bit that got me was this. King argues that DNA computing might be the path to exponential compute density. Not better silicon, not quantum, DNA. Because DNA stores information at a molecular level. The density is insane. And if you can build computing architectures that exploit that, You're talking about compute capabilities that make today's data centers look like pocket calculators. Now, I wasn't expecting to care about this one, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. If we want AI systems capable of genuine research-level discovery, they need compute that scales in ways we haven't imagined yet. DNA computing is one of the few paths that gets you there without hitting physical limits. Ask yourself, if compute density increases by orders of magnitude, what becomes possible that isn't today? Right, so, moving to memory. There's a guide this week on adding memory to AI agents using Spring AI and Oracle's database. It's called Adding Memory to AI Agents Using Spring AI and Oracle AI Database. And what I loved about this is how practical it is. Three types of memory. Episodic. What was said in previous conversations. Semantic. What the agent knows about your domain. And procedural. What the agent can actually do. All three types managed in a single database instance. Embeddings computed in database so there's no external API call overhead. Hybrid vector search that combines dense embeddings with keyword matching for better retrieval. Here's the thing. A stateless chatbot is easy to build. An agent with memory that persists across sessions, scales to thousands of interactions, and retrieves the right context at the right time? That's engineering. And this guide shows you exactly how to do it. With code, with database schema, with actual examples you can run, if you're building agents that need to remember things, and let's be honest, most production agents do, this is worth your time. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The hard problems in AI right now aren't about better models, they're about integration, memory, cost management, making systems that can run continuously without burning through budgets or losing context. Agents that work in production aren't stateless chatbots. They're systems with persistent memory, bounded context, and explicit cost controls, and the teams figuring this out are the ones shipping things that actually run in the real world. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.